It is such a great time, Christmas. You know, it's amazing because it was a week ago, we were celebrating Thanksgiving with family and friends, and you got to love this time of year. People were wondering, what am I going to get someone that I care about so much? Where's that perfect gift that's going to put a smile on their face? I wonder what you're going to go shopping for and what things you're going to grab or what are you going to get this year that's going to be the game changer? Something that you go, oh, that is perfect. And so we're all thinking about this, and certainly my wife and I, we were out at the mall yesterday, and I thought, what in the world am I doing out here? We couldn't hardly get 50 feet without seeing someone, stopping for a half an hour, going 50 feet, stopping, seeing someone, stopping for half an hour. We went from the center court to Target, and it took us about 2 hours, and my wife said, I don't want to do this anymore. We didn't do anything. We just talked to people. It's crazy, all the people out there. Wasn't it just a little while ago, a few days back? It was Thanksgiving, and we were sitting around with family eating, oh, eating all that food, enjoying Thanksgiving. You got to love Thanksgiving. You got to love the holidays. We're sitting around just enjoying, and I love people's posts. I'm giving 30 days of Thanksgiving. I'm going to post something every day. Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you, God, for my health. Thank you, God, for everything I have. Thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. But come midnight on Thanksgiving, it turns all the way around. Black Friday. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Black Friday. And it's no longer Black Friday. Black Friday is spilling into Thursday. My brother and I and our kids and my nephews, we all went out and had a guy's night out. Thanksgiving Eve, we went and saw a show. And wow, did Black Friday turn into Black Thursday as well? My daughter says, hey, want to stop out? Can you stop by? I want to pick something up at a store. So at 10 o'clock at night, we're in the store. We walk into this place called Shopko, and there was a line that went in this little store, this little city in South Dakota, and it wrapped around almost every aisle, up and down the back of the store and back to the front and to the back of the store and down every aisle and to the back of the store and around here. And I thought, well, that must be the end of it. And they said, nope. It goes all the way back to the front of the store and all the way to the back of the store in the middle. And then it wound around. And then finally in the back by the men's department, it wrapped all the way around the clothes and through all the men's racks. It went like that. And that was the end of the line. And my daughter wanted to pick up a little Nano or iPad or something. And I went, you've got to be kidding me. That's got to be at least 3 hours long. What are these people doing here? And you just saw shopping cart after shopping cart people. And as they're in line, they're standing there and they look to the side. They go, oh, oh. And as they're going along, and you know strategically, they're putting all these life-changing gifts in the aisles, life-changing things like scarves and mittens. And I mean, but it's a dollar. And then I got home and I thought, well, at least Port Huron's not like that. And we were talking in staff meeting, and some of our staff went out at midnight and 6 a.m. And I said, what was it like? They said, you, Pastor, Walmart was crazy in this city. I said, really? They said, you know, 20-whatever lines, front of the store to the back of the store, and everything packed in between. I said, what was going on? Well, they had DVD Blu-ray players on sale for $39. And you have to get that. That's the life changer. If I have that gift, everybody's looking for these gifts. And I guess at the thing, they were running out pretty quick and people were grabbing. I got to have that. And I guess there were children there and people were shoving and screaming and cussing. And that was grandma standing there. And I guess at one place there was a fist fight going on. And these were ladies. This is mom and grandma. That's my DVD player, kapow. Life-changing. We went from thankfulness to, you better get out of my way. I love this time of year. What could possibly be in the box? What possibly could you buy? What possibly could you want that would go, I have to have that. That's going to bring joy, happiness, and peace in my life. Do you know that this last Black Friday in America, 3 million televisions, flat screens were sold. 3 million people have had their life changed. Do you know that the Consumer Report said just over this holiday season that we, in retail, will spend $586 billion? That could end a lot of hunger, welfare, debt, teachers' issues. That could change the world. That could change a lot of places. $586 billion on that life-changing gift. Isn't that amazing? Because that's what Christmas is all about. So I've got a box here, and I have in here a life-changing gift. Oh, wait. Before I open that, I have another life-changing gift. Last Wednesday, picked up one of these little precious things. Why are you so? I'm that far away, and you already know what this is. Shame on you. Yes, the Powerball. I have a lottery ticket. That's right. Last Wednesday, $550 million, half a billion dollars, was going to someone, and it was going to be me. I asked my wife, I was home, and I said, hey, can you stop by and pick me up a lottery ticket? I don't remember what the numbers were. In fact, I heard them that night. I haven't really compared. I think I have one of the numbers. I may have all of them. Wait a minute. I have no idea. I don't even know what the numbers are, honestly. We're like, oh, we should watch and see the number. And I think I saw it flash on the screen. I didn't have the ticket with me. So who knows? I mean, this could be worth nothing. I'll tell you what it is worth, $3. It's for sale. Do you know how crazy people got? At one point, they were selling these tickets every 60 seconds. There were 15,300 of these being printed every 60 seconds. In everybody's hope of, this is going to change my life. It will change your life. $550 million will definitely change your life. The last 10 winners, I believe, one committed suicide, six are bankrupt. It will change. That's not to say you couldn't handle it. What's in the box that could change your life forever? I don't know. What could be in the box? Well, let's find out. I got this today for everyone. In fact, someone ran into me in the in the mall yesterday, and they said, you out shopping? Yep. You getting Christmas presents? I said, just one. For who? I said, for the church. So here it is. Here's what I got you. In the next several weeks, I'll have something for every one of you in this box. Today's box number one. Oh, boy, this is going to change everything. Box number one. Box number one is a box. It's not just any ordinary box. This is Pandora's box. This is going to change everything. See, Pandora's box is interesting. In Greek mythology, Zeus created Pandora to be the first woman ever to give to man. And Epimetheus was kind of the man. He was kind of it. He was the guy. And so Zeus decided to give Epimetheus a wife. And so he created Pandora. And here's how the whole thing went down. Basically, what he did, she came from the forge of, help me out here, Hephaestus. Beautiful as a goddess and beguiling. Thanks to traits bestowed by Athena and Zeus, Zeus presented her as a bride to Epimetheus, and Zeus gave the gods crafted Pandora as a bride to Epimetheus. But with that, God also gave him a box, the couple a box, this box, with a warning. He said, here, I give this to you, Pandora and Epimetheus, but here's my warning. Don't ever open the box. Epimetheus was dazzled by his bride, Pandora. Perhaps he forgot the advice. Perhaps he thought they were supposed to just hold on to the box for safekeeping. Either way, here's what happened in Greek mythology. Epimetheus, he insisted and told his wife, Pandora, don't ever open the box. Stay to the letter of the law. One day, unfortunately, Pandora's husband left her side for a few hours. Pandora was gifted with curiosity, as much as the other attributes given by the gods. For her, the box was a gift, not something to be necessarily kept. What business had Zeus to tell her not to open the box? Does this sound familiar? Perhaps she'd listened to her brother-in-law's tales of trickery. Perhaps she saw nothing to fear. Maybe if she just took a quick peek, that's all. And so Pandora against Zeus's better wishes and instructions, just want to take a peek. That's all she was going to do, so she opened the box. And as she opened the box, that's for those of you that weren't awake. She opened the box, and when she did, here's what took place, opening Pandora's box. Ghostly forms gushed forth from the crack. Pandora had unleashed all the evils known to man. No longer could man lull about all day. He'd have to work and would succumb to every kind of illness, disease, sickness, and death. Wow, does this story sound familiar? I wonder where the Greeks got their story of a woman taking a hold of something that God told her not to touch. Could it be that thousands of years before there was a woman by the name of Eve that God had fashioned, and her beauty was unparalleled, and God had given her to the man and said, I want you to enjoy everything that life has to offer. In fact, here, I'm going to give you trees and fruit and life and tastes and sights and sounds unparalleled in all the universe. Here, enjoy my creation. But do me one thing. Don't ever touch the tree. Don't ever touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Never eat its fruit. Leave it alone. Everything else is fine. And at what point did Eve, Pandora, say to herself, I wonder, as her husband left her in the day for a few hours, and here comes this serpent. Oh, go ahead. What's the big deal? God didn't really mean. And so what does she do? She takes a hold of it, and she unleashes every kind of sickness, disease, death, pestilence that you can imagine. And no longer would man rest by day. Isn't that interesting? Why do those stories sound so familiar? Because one is true and the other one is myth. And the myth follows the truth. But isn't it amazing? But what you don't know, or maybe you didn't know, I didn't know. I didn't study Greek mythology. I checked this with my son, who did quite a bit of this mythology in high school. When she opened the box and all hell broke loose and all of the demons and the ghouls came into the world, as Eve bit into that apple and all of death entered into the world, here's what you don't know. At the bottom of Pandora's box, as she looked into there was something else that Zeus had put in the box. At the very bottom of the box, after everything had been unleashed, she looked in at the very bottom, there was hope. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting that at the end of all of this stuff that happens between God, Adam and Eve, and Lucifer, after everything happens in Genesis, God turns to Eve and says, Eve, I know what you've done. What a horrible, horrible thing. But listen, I'm going to put enmity between you and the serpent. And in the bottom of the box, I'm going to give you hope. Your son, your child, will crush the devil's head. And so in the box, there was hope. It's a boy. That's what's in the box. It's funny, I bought this in Target last night, and someone walked by and they go, I said, not on your life. Are you kidding me? Oh, no. Grandkids, maybe. It's a boy. It's a boy. At the end of life, when all of hell is broken loose, when everything in your world has seemed to have been turned upside down, when somehow everything has let loose, folks, dig a little deeper. There's hope. When the marriage doesn't look like it's going to make it because all hell has broken loose and everything has gone awry, guess what? Go a little bit deeper. There's hope. When everything in this world is going along and you don't know how you're going to make it, guess what? Go a little bit deeper. There's hope. When your health is falling apart, brother, guess what? The doctors don't know. A little bit deeper, there's hope. It's a boy. And for unto us a child is given, and unto us a son will be born. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. So when everything else falls apart, go a little bit deeper because there's hope in the box. You want to know what to open up? Give God some glory this morning. The Bible says in chapter 9, in verse 2, we'll bring that up for you. Look at this, just a couple of verses. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living, isn't it interesting? I asked Brother Eddie to come up and share his story. He did not know what I was talking about this morning. Here's how God works. He said, when I was in Florida just before I went to the hospital, when I was down in Alabama, just before, I didn't know it. I was a dead man walking. Take a look at this verse. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You see, what the doctors don't know is at the bottom of the box, and maybe many doctors do know, because I know a lot of believing doctors, and I think it's great. We believe in medicine, and we believe in miracle, and we believe the two work together, they can work apart, but we believe that God is the ultimate great physician. There's guys sitting in this church that I see right now that God, or that men have said 15 years ago, you're not going to be here, that have said 2 weeks ago, you're not going to be alive. That was 2 weeks ago he walked out of the hospital. Some of you here is a testimony of what God has done. There's some of you in here that said your marriage will never make it. And yet look at what God is doing in your life. God is healing and putting things back. There are people who has said to you, you know what? Your life is over. Look how much it fell apart. And you know what? God came along and said, guess what? Look in the box. There's hope. I'm the God of second chances. Some of you are in marriages and situations you never thought would be possible. But God gave you a second chance. God made it possible. Because look what's in the box. Pandora or Eve may have both opened up the box, but at the bottom of both of those is hope. And God is always turning. Listen, 6,000 years ago, the devil may, Adam and Eve may have switched the light off, but I want you to know, 2,000 years ago, God turned the light back on, and his light was shining, and the Magi followed the light, and they found in the manger hope. Guess what I did? 25, 28, 29, 30, oh my goodness. It's 30 years ago this Christmas, God turned the light on in my life. And so when a college friend of mine said, what happened to you? You disappeared. God turned the light on in my life. And I was walking in darkness, but I have seen a great light. God has wanted to turn the lights on for you and I. And then finally, it's a pretty simple message. People were dreaming. Pastor, could you pray for me? Why? I bought a lottery ticket. No, me too. Could you pray for me? Really? Yeah, but if I win, I told God I'm giving money to the church. I thought, I've already won. And everything I have is God's. And it is his. It's not the church's. It's God's. It was never mine. You know what people are looking for? They're looking for verse 6. Verse 6 says that Jesus, that unto us a child is born, a son is given. It's a boy. And he will be called Wonderful. Isn't that what we hope this Christmas? Down at Reverse Christmas, we have the opportunity to give away gifts. I cannot tell you. I have no idea how it happened last year. We had 2,000 children go through, sit up on Santa Claus's lap. Did you say Santa Claus? I'm sorry, Kris Kringle. And we ought to worship Kris Kringle. We should. Not Santa Claus, Kris Kringle. What? Well, if we're going to unwrap the true meaning of Christmas, Santa Claus was St. Nicholas in the 3rd century who went around and he gave gifts. He opened up orphanages because his parents died and left him a ton of money when he was a boy. And he was raised in an orphanage and said, I don't ever want this to happen again. Became a priest. Punched a guy in the nose. When he punched the guy in the nose, because he said Jesus wasn't really Jesus. He was just an apparition. He was just a spirit. He never really lived and died on the earth and rose from the dead. And this guy got so mad, he punched this bishop in the nose, broke his nose. Felt so bad he had to quit the ministry. He went into opening orphanages and rescuing children by giving away his wealth, by throwing it away in stockings through the windows. Really? Let's unwrap Christmas for what it's worth. But the early church They worshiped saints and venerated saints. Martin Luther said, enough of this. We are not going to worship saints, which is, by the way, St. Nicholas Day is December 6th. And they stopped doing that, and they said, guess what? December 24th, we're going to have Christmas. We don't celebrate birthdays, but we're going to celebrate the Mass of Christ in his birth. And so they started doing that, and they combined and brought it all together. Well, some traditions kept bringing things in. And the Germans got a hold of Santa Claus. They call him Kris Kringle. And they said, he's going to come along and change everything at Christmas. See, you think he's St. Nicholas. That's not it. Kris Kringle is the German mispronunciation. And Kris Kringle is the Christ child. But it was too awkward to have a child walking down the street carrying toys, to have a baby in a manger doing it. And so they used Father Christmas. And we're going to unwrap over the next few weeks the truth about Christmas. And the idea that you shouldn't get so hung up on certain things and think we've lost it. We haven't lost it. You will never lose hope. Hope will always be here. You can put an X on Christ and you go, well, that's just the Greek letter chi. And it is, which the early church used all the time. And it is the symbol that's a spelling of Christ. And so as much as you try to get rid of Christ, there will always be hope. You can never get rid of the hope of Christ. He will always be right there when you need him. I'm so excited. I got to stop preaching because, Pastor, I'll give you 10% if I win the lottery. No, God doesn't want 10%. God wants 100%. No wonder why your lives fall apart, because you're holding back. You're holding back 90% from God of your life. Well, that's money. I know it's just money, but it certainly can represent 90% of your time, 90% of your commitment, 90% of your thoughts, 90% of your money, 90% of your prayer, 90% of your daily routine, 90%. If I kept 90% and only gave God 10% of my life, if I gave my wife 10% of my time, 10% of my love, 10% of my value, 10% of my affection, we're going to have a really bad marriage. Well, I should give her 20%. My wife has 100%. Trust me, I don't see a paycheck every Friday. It goes to her because I can't handle 100%, but I know she's faithful. I know she's trustworthy. I know she knows how to handle it. So I give God everything in my life because he is trustworthy. He is faithful and he knows how to handle it. I give him all of my health because I know he is trustworthy. I give him all of my time because I know he is faithful. I've gotten off track. Every kid is hoping to open up a box. I'm hoping to open up. I can't wait to see what my kids get me. And if they're listening right now, I'm giving them the same thing they gave me last year. Uh-oh. It'll be life-changing. What can I give that will change? Wow. And we're all hoping for that. We're all hoping for something that'll change. That's what Christmas ought to be about. So here it is. May God change everything in your life. And this year, as you look at it, I pray God will change. I mean, we have an opportunity at Reverse Christmas to do things. My encouragement is for you to, listen, if everybody, we have 1,200 toys right now. You don't have to do anything, folks. You don't have to do anything. We can take care of 1,200 children right now in 3 days next weekend. But what happens if 2,000 kids come through again? Well, they don't get anything. That's fine. Or Carol said to me, Christmas Carol, she said, Pastor, I'm going to make toys. I'm going to make these styrofoam things. And I said, those are really, really cool. I said, but don't do it. She says, yeah, but I want to make sure we don't run out on Sunday. I said, Carol, if you do that and you make all the toys, it doesn't let other people become a part of the miracle. I want you to be a part of the miracle. Go out and spend $3 or $5 on a toy. Just the idea that there's something in the box that a kid gets to take home. It's like, really, you did? Why did you do this for me? I don't know. Does it cost anything? No. Do I have to sign up? No. Well, what if I come back again and lie and give you a different name and get food the next day and the next day? If you need it, come and get it. I don't care. You don't care? Where's the accountability? The accountability is right here. I just want to give love and life away. I just want people to know that they are loved beyond what they could ever dream. That God doesn't say, well, sign up and do something good and then I'll bless you. God says, I will give you every good and perfect gift. And God says in Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ loves you even while you're a sinner. He's not looking for rules and regulations. He just wants to love you. The box has already been opened, and all hell broke loose. But there's a baby. So you have a chance. Go out this week. Bring a couple of toys in. I've already bought some. Well, whatever you want to do. Or my daughter's going to Africa for 41 days for Christmas. That's what I'm getting her for Christmas. Sayonara. She's going to Mombasa. We're praying for her. She'll be here next week finishing up finals, and she's going to an orphanage. With who? Her and a friend. Why? Because there's children there. What's she going to do? She's going to give away tennis shoes, jerseys, and ball caps to little boys and teach little girls. So you bring ball caps, tennis shoes, and jerseys in. And if it has sweat stains in the jerseys, I'm going to throw it right back at you. Don't give away anything that you don't already want. We're going to love up on, she's going to love up on these kids. Why? Why? Let me close with this. I went to the bank the other day to get some money out. Up here in Wadhams, I went to my bank and I took $100 out. I needed a couple of gallons of gas. I feel like I'm going to be Fred Flintstone. I'm just going to drive the car with my feet. And I went into the bank and there's a gal there, and I had never met the gal before, and I got up and I put my little withdrawal slip up there, and I did put my ID, thinking I like to go into a bank where at least they know who you are. I want personal banking, but I understand it's a big bank. They got several branches. And I went up there. She goes, "How you doing, Pastor?" Joanne was her name. It was on her name tag, because I'm looking. And as soon as someone says, "How you doing, Pastor?" It goes, how do I know her? Because, you know, everybody, that's my big dilemma when I go to the mall. People come up, "How you doing? It's good to see you again. What's my name?" I have no idea. I don't even know half your names. And she goes, "Well, is the church doing anything great this year?" I said, "Yes, we are." And the right side of my brain is spinning. How do I know her? How do I know her? Left side of my brain is still talking. And she goes, "Well, I mean, you guys are going to do something great." I said, "Well, yes. As a matter of fact, we're doing reverse Christmas. And on a reverse Christmas, we're going to be doing..." I started explaining the whole thing. She goes, "That is amazing. Your church is always doing great things. You guys just in this community are just..." And I'm sitting there going, "I feel great. I have no idea who you are." And I finally said, "How do you know..." And, well, before I said that, she goes, "Your church, I've always thought about coming and visiting your church. I've never been there but wanted to go." Now I'm going, okay, I don't know her from church, so you're not here today. I know she wasn't in first service. And I'm thinking, and she goes, "Because I go to Colonial Woods and I hear about, but I'm loyal to my church." And I said, "Your church, that's my church too. That's us. Same team. No competition here." She goes, "But I've always wanted to come out and visit." I said, "Well, come out and visit anytime you want." And she goes, "You're always doing these things." I said, "I got to ask you, how do you know about our church? And how do you know?" She said, "People come in here all the time, customers talking about what Grace is doing." And I'll tell you, as the pastor of Grace, I felt so good. I walked in there going, "I am so in love with Grace. Thank you, guys. It makes me feel good as a pastor." And then this morning, God hit me with a 2x4. And here's, and we're going into prayer early this morning, and here's what he said. He goes, "That's great, Mitch, that people, you know, we hope that people have grace on their lips, but you haven't arrived until it's God that is on their lips." And I went, "Oh, that's what we want, God. It's one thing to be talking about a church. It's another thing to be talking about the Savior." You see, he transcends all the churches, all the buildings, all the denominations, what's on your door. And it's not the church that'll change your life. It's the Savior that'll change your life. And too many people are looking for a great church, and they need to be looking for a great God. There are no great churches, folks, in case you haven't heard. There's only a great Savior. If you're looking for a great church, God bless you as you make your way. And it was nice having you here for a short time. But if you're looking for a great church, it's not here. If you're looking for a great God, he's here every week. And I am so excited. I show up on Sundays and I just think, "God, what are you going to do today?" Brother Eddie walks in. I'm like, "Oh, God, there's a miracle walking." And another thing happens and another thing. And I'm just looking for things to happen. That'll loosen your lips up. You want to know, you want to get people punching each other out to get a $39 DVD in Walmart? I would love to have crowds fighting over these chairs going, "I got to hear about the Savior. I got to hear about God. Get out of my way. Give me a Bible." When has church been like that that you can remember? But Walmart has it every year in hopes that I'll find hope. It's a boy, folks. So this Christmas, when you're out shopping this Christmas, when you are trying to give love away, and there's nothing wrong with that, make sure you find at the bottom of the box, you find a son. It's a boy. Here's something I shared with you last year. This is our benediction. I think this will bless you.